We go now to the Washington, D.C. area. Going to bring Ken Timmerman to these microphones. He covers geopolitical activities for us, and we have some of those geopolitical events to talk about. But first, Ken, we've been focusing in the last couple of weeks on the ISIS leader, Baghdadi, who has declared a caliphate, a worldwide caliphate. Basically now it's focused or headquartered right there in the area of Syria and Iraq. He said he's willing to break down all borders to get to Jerusalem. But he has been watching what's been going on in the Middle East, and he's made the statement he's not going to support Hamas because they're moving ahead of schedule. His schedule was to go into Jerusalem a bit later. Seems like he's trying to take over the entire Islamic world at this point in time, doesn't it?
It clearly indicates that they have a plan and that they are very carefully executing that plan. They're not leaving things to chance. And this, I think, is the pattern that we've seen so far with their military advances. They have laid the groundwork very carefully for their assault on Mosul, which was quite successful. They essentially got the Iraqi army to evacuate virtually without firing a shot. There are allegations that the Kurds have been working with them, in particular to shell the Christian town of Hamdaniyah in the Nineveh Plain in northern Iraq. That shelling lasted for just a couple of hours, essentially forced 50,000 Christian residents to flee from the town, at least temporarily. The Kurds deny any collusion with ISIS. They've also been accused by Maliki, the prime minister down in Baghdad, of harboring ISIS militants and some of their top leaders. So you have a very complicated situation, but one where ISIS has demonstrated a great deal of planning, of strategic thinking, of making alliances with groups and individuals who can help them to achieve their goals. So the fact that they would only go after Israel, quote-unquote, after they had launched strikes on the United States, weakened the United States economically and politically, to me, is another manifestation of this strategic thinking on their part.
Yeah, it does sound exactly like that's the scenario that's unfolding, but is seemingly also another scenario that many people may think be unfolding, a redo of the 1991 Gulf crisis. Now, my wife Judy and I, who, by the way, she's having her birthday, and I'm not going to tell you how many years, but happy birthday, honey. Anyway, getting back to the main news, Kuwait, for example, they are redeploying their troops on the Iraqi border. Now, that's what caused that 1991 crisis to take place when Saddam Hussein, then in power, fired some 39 Scuds at Israel. I was there. I know all about that. Is it going to be a redo? Is Kuwait probably ahead of the times in redeploying their troops?
Well, there is quite a bit of fear that the war with ISIS in Iraq could escalate way beyond the borders of Iraq. You had a former U.S. advisor in Iraq, a gentleman named Ali Khidri, who wrote recently in an op-ed in the Washington Post that he had warned the Obama administration of this in 2010 when Maliki was reelected. And he urged at that point that the United States drop Maliki, first of all because he did not win a majority in parliament, and so he could actually be defeated, but second because of his dictatorial tendencies. And Ali Khidri warned that Maliki remaining in power would lead to a sectarian civil war, and that sectarian civil war would escalate way beyond the borders of Iraq. And in fact, that's what we are seeing today. Jordan is worried that ISIS units on its territory will consolidate their hold on parts of Jordan and launch greater attacks. The leader of ISIS has said that he wants to move not just into Jordan, but into Lebanon as well. So I think what we're seeing is very troubling, very concerted, very coordinated. This is a planned operation by jihadis seeking to reestablish the Islamic caliphate, and they have apparently a huge war chest at their disposal, which they have been able to build up by looting archaeological artifacts, both in Syria and now most recently in Mosul.
Well, you know what's interesting? At the same time, there's a political deadlock which has paralyzed the Iraqi government. Maliki not able to pull together a government, which everybody in the world would like to see him do or get out of the way one way or the other. This whole situation is not looking good when you can't get a government to try to rebuild your war-torn country.
Well, the Kurds have said that they're going to boycott any sessions of the government before August 13th. They want more time. They want a month, more than a month's time, to be able to conduct their own consultations and to see how the power struggle sorts itself out. I would be astonished if the Kurds had not made a presentation to Secretary of State Kerry when he was there, seeking U.S. intervention to get Maliki to step aside. That's what they are asking for publicly. And Maliki is going to be unable to hold a session of parliament without the Kurds and their Sunni allies because he will not have a quorum. So there will not be a new government in Iraq, at least until the Kurds and some of the Sunnis agree to sit down with Maliki and pro-Maliki members of parliament to convene that parliament again.
Well, does that not then give Baghdadi the open door to do whatever he wants to do as he endeavors to try to take as much of the territory of Iraq as he can?
Well, I think Baghdadi is showing himself to be quite astute. And again, he shows that he has a strategy, that he knows how to carry it out, that he's doing things step by step. He's trying not to bite off more than he can chew. There's still some ongoing battles with the Iraqi army. They're still engaged in Tikrit. The Iraqi army has been unable to dislodge ISIS fighters from Tikrit or from Mosul, for that matter. My guess is that he's going to try to consolidate control over that territory and impose Sharia law in an institutionalized manner.
I know that, Ken, throughout history, when one group of people or a nation or a military force would take over another military force or nation, they would destroy their artifacts, they would destroy their religious institutions, etc. A report coming out, a very shocking moment when ISIS took sledgehammers to the tomb of the prophet Jonah. You know, you've been in that part of the world, and especially the Christian areas of Iraq. Talk to me about this. Is this not a part of a whole endeavor to try to wipe out a people and a nation and a philosophy and establish your own?
Well, yes, I think that's absolutely clear. And ISIS has shown that they're going to behave as the Taliban did in Afghanistan when they blew up the ancient Buddhist statues there, the giant Buddhas in Afghanistan. As you mentioned, there are numerous Christian and even Jewish shrines, the tomb of the prophet Jonah, also the tomb of the prophet Nahum, which is not too far away near Al-Kosh, which I visited and you and I spoke about a couple of years ago. They are destroying churches, blowing them up. They're blowing up Shiite Muslim mosques because they're not of the same sect. And this is the way that ISIS operates, and I would certainly hope that the world would start paying attention, that would be getting more video footage out of this, and people could see with their own eyes the horror stories that are unveiling themselves in northern Iraq and elsewhere in Iraq.
And at the same time, the Kurds moving closer and closer to establishing an independent state, taking advantage of the situation, aren't they?
Yes, the Kurds are getting closer to establishing their own state, and they are taking advantage of the current situation. And as I mentioned earlier, there are numerous allegations that the Kurds are, in fact, working in cahoots with ISIS, at least to a certain extent, to consolidate their hold on territory they believe is Kurdish territory. Kirkuk, to start with, which is the oil-rich area to the southeastern part of the Kurdish regional governance. It's just outside of what is nominally Kurdish territory. And my sources who in northern Iraq that I've been talking to say that they believe that the Kurds could also seek to capture parts of Mosul, if not all of Mosul. They would like to incorporate the Christian areas in the Nineveh Plain as well under their protectorate. And for all intents and purposes, they now occupy those areas militarily. The bishop, or the patriarch, of the Chaldean Church, Louis Sacco, who's somebody I've had the opportunity to meet on several occasions, warned recently that if something is not done by the outside world to intervene, there will be no Christian presence left in Iraq. Christians will flee.
You know, Ken Timmerman has personal experience with being in that part of the world. That's why we go to him in the Washington, D.C. area to get the latest update on what's happening in that region of the world. Ken, thank you so very much for your experience and for your help in giving us the understanding of what really is happening. We so appreciate it.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's my pleasure.